Blog Talk Radio.
My Giants moving on to the NFC Championships.
Oh yeah, we're gonna kick off with a little Giants. Talk a little Jet offseason moves since you know they're playing golf right about now. then we're gonna shift gears to the Knicks. More bad news about that. Then we're gonna talk about baseball with the huge Yankee trades and the moves they've been doing. Talk a little Mets. Notice how all my teams are bad. Bad storylines. And talk a little bit about the Rangers as, you know, they're surging, you know, this year. And then lastly, as usual, end it off with a little sports entertainment. You know, give a little, you know, summary of what's going on in WWE and such. But without further ado, let's talk Big Blue.
Well, yeah, man. That was a great freaking win today, man. We, for the second, two out of the last 4 years, we faced the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs. And we beat them for the second time down in the frozen tundra.
Yep.
Packers looked rusty today. They were dropping a lot of passes. A lot of passes today.
At this rate, they're going to start changing Lambeau Field to new MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, dropping passes, turning the ball over. You know, they didn't look like the 15-1 team that, you know, that we saw all regular season.
Yeah.
And
they're in first time in history, they're the first team to win at least 15 games and then lose the first round, first playoff game.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's kind of sad in a way, but then again, you know, my team is moving on, so can't feel too bad, you know, for them. So, I mean, it is what it is. Giants just played better today. Our defense wasn't, you know, it wasn't fantastic, but it was good enough to win today. We obstructed Aaron Rodgers' view. We clogged up the passing lane. And, you know, we caused them to make mistakes. And they had, like, 4 or 5 turnovers today. So, and that was, and the offense, you know, Eli Manning picked them apart. I mean, they were, like, they were rushing, they only rushing 3 defensive men and having a lot of men in coverage. You know, they were double and triple teaming Cruz and Hit and Nix. But, you know, Eli Manning had enough time to throw the ball. So our offense, it was very good. Defense was okay, you know, but again, Packers, we beat the Packers. The Packers also beat themselves with all the drop passes and mistakes. So, you know, in the end, we win the game. We're going to face 49ers next week. Let's go.
Oh, yeah, man. The game ball clearly goes to Eli Manning right here, man. 21 out of 35 passes, 2 for 33 yards. 2 for 3 mm-hmm. touchdowns and 1 interception. But, you know, I mean, Eli is as good, is even better than he was when he won the championship in 07.
Oh, Eli's been great, man. He's been great all season for the Giants.
Yeah, I know. I mean, back in those days, you know, Eli, you know, was a young guy. He, you know, he had to try to prove himself in the league. I mean, of course, being a high pick. And at that time, it was, a running team. But, man, they're really relying on Eli and, you know, Cruz and all these guys. You know, they're stepping up. So, you know, kudos to the Giants.
Yeah, I thought the player's game was before the half, the first half ended. He threw that Hail Mary. And I think that no one could catch it. But Nix just jumped up and catched the ball. And right there, made it 20-10 at halftime. So I thought that was the biggest play of the game when Eli threw that Hail Mary pass. And a half. So,
they're putting intimidation in them, and, you know, pretty much, you know, that was all she wrote.
Yeah, and you look at the score, 37-20, Giants could have won by more because they were playing against 2 teams today. They were playing against the Packers and the referees.
Yeah, somehow all my teams, you know, they play against the referees and the other team.
Yeah, it was like a call that was supposed to be a fumble, but for some reason, the referees, I don't know if they're blind or something, they overturned the call.
Maybe they're WWE referees.
Yeah, you they act like they don't see the call. But, you know, it didn't hurt us, so we still won the game, but the referees, they gotta, this is the postseason, they can't be making big mistakes like that.
Oh, yeah, for real. Yeah. For real, you're right about that. There's a postseason, and especially nowadays with sports, they have so many instant replays and all so many different camera angles and stuff like that. You can't get away with missing calls like this. I mean, right now, I guess maybe with all these stuff, it just seems like the referees in all these sports are just they're just really doing a horrible job lately.
Yeah, the referees are horrible today. Next week, they better be better. The league office better look at this game, and they better talk to them. Tell them, yo, you got to do a better job, or we're going to fire your ass.
Out of the 4 major sports, which one do you think has the best referees or umpires or whatever?
Who has the best referees?
Who has the best officiators, whether they're referees or umpires?
I'd probably say NBA. Maybe next will be, I mean, football has pretty good referees. It's just that today they were on top of the game. But for the most part, they have some good referees. But overall, it's NBA because it's a more manageable game than the other two because there's not so much, because like with the other two sports, like baseball, football, there's so many players and so many things going on.
Right.
I would say, you know what, I would say maybe it could be, but then again with baseball, like there's some calls like strikes and balls, you know. So I'll go. I'm sticking with NBA. I'll say that's the most easiest game to call. Easiest game to call, and the less mistakes with that sport.
Here's how I disagree with you, because man, I feel over like football has better both officiators, because one, I mean, not only do they, you know, they have the instant replay, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but they even break it down for you. Like,
right.
Okay, after the call, after the play, you know, this challenge, but then we see that there was roughing of the passer, 10-yard penalty, first down, you know, whatever, you know. They just go in depth to what – they go into depth, and before they can even finish what they're saying, the fans are, like, booing because they know, and, you know, they have an idea, you know. Because, you know, the fans are knowledgeable. They have an idea what the guy is going to say.
Right.
You know what I mean? But like,
yeah, but there goes, there's a lot of things that goes on unnoticed in football. There's a lot of holding. A lot of holding that goes on a lot of times. And,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
a lot of late hits. You know, football,
oh, yeah, that's true.
It's not as manageable as basketball. Basketball, you know, you have less players. It's
but,
a more easier game to manage and call. That's why referees don't make that many mistakes in basketball.
Yeah, but see, but here's what how I have a problem. Like, with the superstar players, you know, they hardly get calls on them. Like, the superstar player could do anything to you. The superstar player could put you in a choke slam in front of the referee, and if you bump into the superstar player, you get him fouled. Like, how is someone gonna foul Shaq? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Like a big dude. Shaq pretty much, you know, dry humped Chris Dudley, and no one did anything to him. You know what I'm saying? Superstar player could get away with anything. What was the last time Jordan got called a foul? I mean, seriously, the superstar players get away with everything.
Right.
It's a superstar league. I mean, other than that, I mean, the officiating good, but, I mean, they have so much favoritism with the superstar athletes. I mean, it's ridiculous. And,
yeah.
I mean, baseball, you know, like balls and strikes, I mean, there's plenty of arguments with that. But some of these calls, some of the plays, like, I mean, obviously they don't have instant replay on every play, but some of the stuff like that playoff game with the Yankees, I forgot what team it was it Rangers?
Mm-hmm.
When that guy bluffed the call, I think he said the ball was fair, but the ball was clearly foul.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't remember, but, you know, everybody's human pretty much, you know, so.
Right.
But, well, kudos to your Giants. They're pretty sure you and the listeners, a lot of Giant fans are out there, you know, celebrating this win.
Yeah, tipping on that big blue cheese tonight.
First you had blue cheese, now you're going to San Francisco to get a treat before you get to the Super Bowl.
San Francisco treat, yep. Better believe it. Next week, Candlestick Park.
Where the San Francisco Giants used to play during the Willie Mae days.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good one. So all you gay fans of the Niners, come out and celebrate your team, because that's the last time they're gonna be playing this season.
A confident Giant fan. Nevertheless. Unfortunately, the Giants the Jets on the other hand, they pretty much lied to everybody, the media, the fans, and everything, you know, saying that, you know, they weren't going to make any changes. But obviously, you know, I mean, everybody knew they were going to. And obviously, when your team collapsed like this, I mean, you know, they had to do drastic changes.
Yeah.
So pretty much, as everybody knew, Sanheimer is gone. But this is a mutual thing, whether he left for better, you know, for greener pastures, or they fired him, but they want to say it in a way to save face. And, you know, he's gone, and they replaced him with Tony Sperano. The former Dolphin head coach. And former, I think, offensive coordinator with Dallas, with Parcells. But well, I mean his track record as a, an offensive coordinator is kind of sketchy. I mean, he has the passion. I mean, he is like an offensive version of Rex Ryan. You know, this guy's gonna be, you know, he's a passionate guy. You know, the players, you know, with the on the Dolphins, they love playing for him. So, I mean, with that aspect, I mean, that's a plus. But I mean, the jury's still out. To, you know, if they're gonna fire Schottenheimer, you know, I thought they were gonna go for someone who's like really, really proven.
Right.
But I guess I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he seems to be a fiery, passionate guy. Hopefully that will transfer to more wins for the Jets, and hopefully they'll go back to the spot where Giants are this year, which the past 2 or 3 years, Jets have been going to back-to-back, AFC. Hopefully they'll finally get over that hump. But now, right now, Jets' number one option is that goal is they got to get stability in that clubhouse. And the players gotta, get their trust in Sanchez. And one of the things I hate in sports is when people are bad mouthing their teammates but they don't put their name on it.
Oh yeah, you heard a lot of reports of anonymous teammates bashing Sanchez, saying he's not committed, not the quarterback for the team. You heard a lot of anonymous.
Yep.
Anonymous quotes.
This just totally makes the Jets look stupid. Because, you know, they spend the whole season, you know, running their mouth, talking trash, which, I mean, I don't have a problem with that as long as you back it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and then when they get their butt kicked, instead of eating their humble pie, you know, they try to act like they're tough, man. I mean, just take your humble pie, dust your shoulder off and try to, you know, get some respect back next year. I mean, that's all you gotta do. When you talk smack and you don't deliver,
right?
There's nothing you could do but take it and dust yourself up and try again next year. That's all you gotta do.
Exactly.
But there's a vision in the team. I mean, come on, man. They really need, man. The honeymoon's over for Rex Ryan and the Jets. Obviously, you know, he's not going to lose his job, and nor should he. I mean, he's been a terrific coach for the Jets, you know, thus far. I mean, this is his first losing season, and I think if he didn't talk so much, you know, hyping up the team, which, I mean, I have no problem with that. I mean, I love my players and my coaches to be confident, you know, and saying that, you know, they believe in their team.
Right.
But if he didn't talk the Jets up so much and, you know, play the underdog role and surprise people, and if they would have had a setback like this, you know, maybe people would have been like, you know, okay, you know, the last 2 years, you know, okay, they've, you know, they've done well, but, you know, they collapsed. But maybe there wouldn't be so much heat on them this much. But since they shot for the stars and they crashed they took a total nosedive out of playoff contention. I mean, that's why it's so ugly, you know, in the gangrene world right now.
Yeah, they need to, they're not going to have any captain next year, I guess, because Rex Ryan says he's not giving the role of captain to D'Antonio Holmes was a bad idea, so.
Yeah, I mean, captaincy is earned. You don't just give it to somebody just because they have a big name.
Yeah.
That was another problem, man. You got to earn your captaincy. You got to be on the team for, you know, a long time, and, you know, be a proven team leader. I mean, now everybody sees why, you know, they drove him out of Pittsburgh, even though he was a Super Bowl MVP with them. But, you know, captaincy is earned. You don't just give up, you know, the captaincy to just the biggest name
right.
on the team.
Right.
You gotta do something. You gotta, you know,
gotta
you
earn
gotta,
it.
You gotta earn it. But, you know, they got a long way to go. But switching gears, I guess we'll talk a little Rangers quickly. You know, kudos to the Rangers. Well, actually, they lost. They lost, I believe, today to the Canadians 4-1. But I mean, other than that, they've had a great year. I mean, the Rangers. I mean, you know, they're doing their thing.
Yeah, another New York team that might be going far in the playoffs.
Yeah. So around playoff time, you know, the hockey fans, you know, or the bandwagon hockey fans, you know, they're going to jump on the bandwagon and, you know, support the Rangers, you know.
Yep.
So, you know, kudos to them, you know, and to the true blue Ranger fans, you know, hey, I tip my hat, you know. But,
Power Rangers.
Yeah, go Power Rangers. But shifting to baseball, the Yankees, of course. Stop me if you heard this one. Yankees traded, you know, their top prospect, Jesus Montero, and got a stud young pitcher in return. In Michael Pineda, a young flame throwing pitcher from Mariners. And what's your thoughts of it, our fellow Yankee fan up in here?
I think it's a good move. I think, like I told you, like, I don't like them, you know, giving up Jesus Montero. I thought Jesus Montero, you know, he could be a great young hitter. So, but I guess the Yankees felt that they needed more pitching, so they got, you know, the young all-star from Seattle, who was their second-best pitcher last year, and I think he was about 9-10 with a 3.76 ERA, I think. He had 3-1 strikeout ratio. So, and he throws 95. So, you know, young guy, throws hard, you know, can be an ace. You know, I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to see how he'll do. But, again, I don't like them giving up Montero. I think that guy could have been, give you a great player. You know, I didn't want to see him go. But hey, it's business, you know. So,
yep.
Got to deal with it.
You assume, like, if they were going to give up Jesus Montero, it was going to be for Felix Hernandez, but, you know, they got the next best thing.
Yeah.
And he's, a hurler, you know, and give him another power guy. I mean, they turned a Yankee weakness into a Yankee strength. And everybody know those championship Yankee teams, the good old days, the dynasty, you know, Yankees of, you know, from 96 to 2000 or to 2001, if you're in a stretcher to that year also. I mean, those teams have been, you know, they've relied on pitching, you know, and that's why they've won all those titles.
Yeah, so now they have, like, 7 starting pitchers. One of them is going to go, which I think AJ is, but I don't know what team he's going to go to. Whatever team he goes to, Yankees might have to, you know, eat some of that contract, so...
And if it wasn't for the for his money, he would have been on the Yankees, the Staten Island Yankees. I mean, when this guy is on, man, this guy is dominant. But most times than not, this guy is a head case, and you know, I mean, even the no hitter he threw as a Marlin, he had 9 walks. I mean, that's like maybe only one other pitcher has that. I mean, that's like ridiculous, man.
Well,
I mean,
we'll
it was like
what happens.
Yeah, I mean, we just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
And you guys signed Kuroda, the former Dodger pitcher.
Yeah.
And what else was I gonna say? Mets news. I mean, which they really don't have any news. Oh, by the way, Bartolo Colon signed with the A's. So his Yankees.
Bartolo Colon.
Yeah, his brief Yankee career is over now.
He signed with the A's?
Yep.
Oh, that's nice.
But back to the Mets. The biggest Mets news is that they re-signed Scott Hairston and that, what was I going to say, R.A. Dickey, you know, the Yankee killer.
Yeah.
He climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. He reached the summit I think yesterday. So congratulations to him. He's raising it for a charity thing in Bombay to stop child trafficking, something like that.
Oh.
So, you know, congratulations for him. You know, he's, you know, doing something positive, you know, with his time.
That's cool.
And what was I going to say? Moving to the Knicks, man. Crazy thing. Knicks was doing well lately. They were like, what, on a four-game winning streak,
yeah.
Yeah, I kind of lost track, you know. Usually, when Knicks are winning, you know, when my teams are winning, I always keep track of how many win streaks they're doing. But, you know, I've been watching the games, but it's like, you know, it's good to see the Knicks, you know, we're back until later this week when, what was it, Thursday and Saturday.
Yeah.
They reverted back to the 2002 to 2010 Knicks.
Yeah, they haven't been playing good defense, and they look awful, man. Just awful.
Yeah. Grizzlies and who's the team? Thunder. Right. They just whooped the Knicks' butt, man. I mean, it goes without saying. And Carmelo Anthony is hurt. He twisted his ankle. I mean, he expects to play in tomorrow's game. So we'll keep our fingers crossed on that one. But the funny thing about it is for Christmas I got NBA 2K12. And your brother also has that game, and he's been playing that game a lot. But the funny thing about it is that when was I playing it? I think it was Friday. Well, in any case, in the game, Carmelo Anthony twisted his leg and got out of the game also. So it's like a day after the real Carmelo Anthony twisted his ankle and was out for a while. Now, in the video game, he twists his ankle, and he's going to be gone for, like, a week or two. So, hopefully, that's not the case for the real Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
But, well, I guess, the Nets, I mean, did they win a game? No, I think they lost to Jazz recently. And, they have three wins this season. So, obviously, you know, they're not playing well in their last season in New Jersey as they moved to Brooklyn.
Yeah, they suck.
Pretty much. And don't expect the Dwight Howard to Nets deal anytime soon because, what was I going to say? Brook Lopez, you know, he got hurt. Well, you know, he got hurt weeks ago. So don't expect that trade to go down anytime soon. If not ever, because Brooke Lopez has got to make sure he's healthy to prove that he's worth being traded for.
Right.
I mean, you know, he's healthy enough to be, you know, traded.
Yep.
But shifting lastly to WWE, of course, big news these last couple of weeks was Jericho returning. Last week he was happy. He was speechless. He couldn't talk. This week, this Monday, he was overjoyed, and he was crying, and he didn't get to speak again. So, pretty much, Jericho was pretending. In my opinion, I think Jericho is pretending to be a old school Jericho, being a good guy.
He's teasing the fans.
He's teasing the fans, and I guess this looks like it's going to lead up to the to the rivalry of CM Punk versus Jericho, as people were predicting. Austin don't look like he's going to come out of retirement this year because he doesn't want to share the spotlight with The Rock and Cena feud. So next pay-per-view, I mean next WrestleMania is most likely going to be in Dallas. So, you know, what I guess, what better way for him to come out of retirement in his hometown?
Yeah, that's great.
But big news is that Brodus Clay, I mean, this, you know, monster heel. Of course, he was Alberto Del Rio's bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
And WWE just had a what the, you know, moment when, what's the call it, Brothers Clay, they do it as a Godfather slash Big Daddy kind of image, which didn't really fit with him. I mean,
no.
I mean, I wasn't complaining about, you know, the ladies who accompanied him. But I don't know, the gimmick didn't really seem to fit with him. But, you know, I gotta give them credit for trying to do something out of, you know, out of the blue. But
yeah.
I guess we'll just have to wait to see how that gimmick fits with
we'll
him.
We'll see.
More your thoughts about it, quickly.
Strange. Very strange. We'll just see how it turns out, but it's very strange, just like I said.
Well, what's strange is that, you know, it's time for us to go, man.
Yep.
Coming on the show.
No problem. Anytime.
I want to thank you for listening to another episode of Sports of the Legend. I want McCauley Matthew. I'm William Ramon. See you guys next week. Thanks for listening. As usual. Peace.